Okay, so the topic we're going to be starting now, well, you know, the third of the impacted issues that we're going to be discussing in the sugya, is the issue of Hanaz Grono versus Hanaz Man. Now we're going to see that the contrast between the Dinim, Bechol Torah Kula, and Yom Kippur will highlight, you know, in a very clear fashion, the nature of the, you know, the Dinim of Inoy Shel Achila on Yom Kippur. But today we're going to be focused on specifically the dinim of Hanaz Me'ayim and Hanaz Grono B'chol Torah Kula, because you need that background to fully appreciate the contrast to Yom Kippur. So again, today we'll be talking about Hanaz Grono, Hanaz Me'ayim B'chol Torah Kula, and we'll transition tomorrow and the next day to discussing how those dinim play out in terms of Yom Kippur, and that contrast again will be very, you know, telling. Okay. Exciting?
Very geschmack.
Okay, good. Fine. Okay, so first we're going to discuss Hanaz Me'ayim and Hanaz Grono, you know, B'chol Torah Kula. We're going to focus on two specific realms. The first realm will be the realm of Isser, Machalas Asuros, and then we're going to transition quickly, transition after a little while, for a short amount of time, to the realm of Mitzvos. We'll see how it all plays out. So first, in terms of Machalas Asuros, it's just important to note that before we get to the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan in Chulin regarding which Hana is koveya for Machalas Asuros, it's important to be makdim and to note that this issue of which Hana is koveya for Machalas Asuros is a very important issue. Right? It's not just, you know, like an external Tanai, but rather takes on a much bigger role. And that can be seen from the very important halacha of Misasik v'chalav and v'arayos chayiv shekeinena. We're going to see that based on different understandings of this halacha, we're going to see that the role that hana when it comes to machalas asuros plays a very integral role, and therefore, you know, pinning it down and specifically pinning down the contrast between the role of hana by machalas asuros in general with the role they play Yom Kippur in particular is going to, you know, be a very fundamental issue, not just some external question, but, you know, getting to the very essence of either the geder of the Isser itself, and or at least relating to the geder of the Maisa Achila. So again, Hana is not just an external Tanai, but rather relates to the geder HaIsser, or at least to the geder of the Maisa Achila, and therefore if you find contrast between, you know, the geder of Machalas Asuros in general with the geder of Yom Kippur, that's not just an external tonight, but that relates to either, you know, the geder of the Isurim themselves, or at least the geder of Maisa Achila in the different contexts. That's why just playing up the importance of the coming topic. Oh. So this takes us to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, both right, in Sanhedrin Samach Beis on the Beis, and the Gemara in Krisus Yutasim Beis, where they mention this famous klal of Misasik B'chalav V'arayos Chayev Shekeinen. So what's the background? The background is that generally, B'chol Torah Kula is a p'tur of misasik. In general, what's the definition of misasik? What's the case of misasik?
Huh?
So,
yes.
Or even just conceptually, what's
conceptually,
the...
You're not aware of the action that you're performing.
Exactly, perfect. Right? So misasik is a p'tur based on the fact that you're not even aware. Not only do you not intend to perform the action at hand, you're not even aware that you're performing the action at hand. So in generally, there's a p'tur of misasik, B'chol Torah Kula. Comes to all Yisurim, that is a p'tur. There's a big machlokas, which again, Moshe referenced in Seder, big machlokas in terms of what the nature of the p'tur is. We're now going to go with, I think, the normative approach that it's not just a p'tur karban, not just a p'tur onish, but that, you know, the lack of awareness of the ma'isa even dictates that there is no ma'isa at all. But, right, that the ma'isa avera that you performed, you know, unknowingly, basically is not misyachis to you at all. Right? So it sounds like there's no connection between you and the Maisa because you weren't aware that you were performing that Maisa. That, therefore, plays up into the question of, then the Gemara says, oh, although there's a p'tur of misasik, kol Torah Kula, there's an exception to that p'tur. And that exception is in the realm of Machalas Asuros and Isurebia. Right? Literally, the Gemara says, Misasik chalavim and arayos, chalavim, which is one Michael Isser of chalav, that is really indicative of seemingly all Machalas Asuros, and arayos referring to all Isurebia. So the major question we have to, you know, assess is why is Shekeinena, why is the fact that you derived Hadna'ah from these Averos, how does that dictate that you're still Chayev for Misasek? Somehow, the fact of Shekeinena, you know, undermines the Petur of Misasek. As you can imagine, you know, different understandings of Shekeinena will give us insight in terms of the role of Hana, Shekeinena, or the role of Hana by these specific, you know, by these two categories of Averos, Machalos Asuros, and Usurebiya. So important, just before we offer the explanations, to just note the interesting lashon of Rashi and Sanhedrin. Right, Rashi and Sanhedrin, right there on Samach Beis and Mabeis, Dibur Masal Shekeinena has an interesting lashon. Anyone remember the lashon?
Chashiv.
Kavana, exactly. Literally, right, to quote, it says Hilkach, right? Chatmin after right, the Gemara. He first quotes the Dibur Masal is Shekeinena. So, what's the impact of Shekeinena? According to Rashi, it's Hilkach. Therefore, because you got Kavana, Chashiv. So, because you got Hana, therefore Chashiv Bekavana.
Bekavana.
Bekavana. Yeah. So literally means because you got Hana, therefore it's treated as if you had Kavana. So just to know, before we explain what it is, I think first know what it's not. So although the literal interpretation of Rashi would sound saying that, oh, because you got Hana, it's as if you got Kavana, which literally means, therefore somehow because you had Hana, it's as if you were Mechave. So what I want to say is that I don't think it's possible to interpret Rashi, and thereby this klal of Shekeinena, as saying that technically, the fact that you got Hana means that technically you were Mechavin for the Maisa there. Because practically, you know, in the realm of, you know, just Mitzias, you weren't Mechavin, right? In Mitzias, you weren't aware that you were performing this action. So, even though you ended up, when it comes to Machal Hasura, so you weren't aware that you were about to eat this Chalef. Right, you weren't aware of that myself. So therefore, granted you, Shekeinena, granted you derived Hana after the fact, but I don't think there's any way to understand Rashi literally as saying that once you derived Hana after the fact, that means technically you were Mechavein going into it.
You didn't even cognize exactly the thing you were about to
exactly.
do involved.
Exactly. Since you weren't even aware, right, to use normal people's Lashonos, right? Not philosophers. Right. Cognize, aware. Right?
What did I say?
You said cognize.
So yeah, no, I should have just said aware.
Yeah. So because you weren't even aware of the action going into it, it's hard to say that, you know, the Hana after the fact, you know, makes it as if you were Mitzias Mechaven going into it. So I just wanna get it off the table.
Can I raise an issue about that?
Yes.
About what you just said?
Yes.
Okay, so the case of Misasek is where the case of Misasek, the cases of Misasek rather that are brought up all have to do with, or at least that Rashi brings up, have to do with there being one thing that's mutter and one thing that's usser.
Yeah.
Now, it seems actually that the Hana'a then is part of the intention. Why? Because the thing that you were about to do, that you intended to do that was mutter, had the same, let's stipulate, the same hana associated with it. And Rashi seems to be talking about that case, right? The two pieces of fat and your wife and sister, anyway. Let's say, though. In other words, it's the same sort, not only is it the same sort of Hana'a, it's probably the same sensation. It's just derived from a different object.
Which is Mutter instead of Asr.
No, or which is Asr instead of Mutter.
Exactly.
So, do you think that interferes at all with your interpretation? Because
I didn't say anything yet.
No, you have. No.
I just said what it's not.
Right, no. Okay, with your negation of a certain interpretation,
okay.
Like, why is it impossible that since Hana was associated with the object that with which the usser object or person was interchanged, and that
and I understand what you're saying, but the quick answer is that, but you weren't mechaven to the Maisa Avera.
Oh, but you were mechaven
to the Maisa Heter.
but you were machat, but part of the, in other matter. Words,
it, even though it's the same thing, but the, you know, the difference between a maisa iser and a maisa heter in this realm is, you know, the world of a difference.
But the whole, question that we're asking is, could the hana'a, the whole exegetical question we're asking on Rashi is
what impact is what is the impact of the hana'a?
What is the impact of the hana'a? In other words, but I'm I think this is orthogonal to that question. Like, I don't think it enters the question that you just raised. You know, it's a plausible interpretation of Rashi that he's saying that
you're mechaven for the
tefillah.
I just don't understand what the connection between deriving hana'a from the dvar iser, how that dictates that you were mechaven for the ma'aser.
So it in precisely the following way.
It's the same degree of hana'a.
What?
As you said, it's your wife.
It's even more than that. You have a piece of fat in. I think this is correct. So, is that all right with you? Can we keep pursuing this?
For one more minute.
Okay, fine. You have a piece of fat in front of you. Okay.
Two pieces of fat.
Well, just whatever. You have a piece of mutter fat in front of you.
Yeah.
Now, once you understand, you don't have like some like you know general desire like. You know, must eat that is like, you know, which is inherently fulfilled by the fat. You have a hunger, and then that hunger and the desire to satiate the hunger becomes localized in the intention to consume the fat. Now, it would seem to me that if there's hana'a at all in the fat, that's going to be part of why you choose this particular the hana in the fat is going to be part of why you choose this particular piece of fat.
No, but as Brian pointed out, both of them have the same amount of hana.
It's your wife.
Yeah. Right. No, precisely.
The shuman and the chela have the same amount of hana.
Also, don't you not know which one's aser?
No.
Actually, misasig is where you are intended to do the. You don't know, but you think you know. But at the end of the day, but that shows even more so. Your kavana going in was to get hana from the shuman, that which was mutter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the fact that you got hana from the chela, from the usher fat, can now dictate lamafreya retroactively,
mm-hmm.
that going in you had kavana for the maisa iser of deriving hana from the chela. Mm-hmm. Because your kavana going in, practically, in Metzias, was to derive hana and to eat the shuman.
Okay. All right. You might have convinced me.
Okay. Fine. So, okay. So now that we just established that which it can't be, so the question is, then what is it? All right, what does Rashi mean when he says that shekeinena, therefore, you know, results in chashav b'kavana? And the larger question is, what exactly is the exception of shekeinah now? What's going on there? So I'd like to suggest, two different explanations, which I heard from my father-in-law. He likes quoting this in different contexts. And actually, Shalom just showed me in Seder today that these are, mentioned by Achronim as well. And we'll mention that, each Achron associated with each approach in just a moment. So the first approach is to say that the basis of shekeinah is the fact that when it comes to machalos asuros and isurei bia, the gedder of the isur is not the maisa, it's not the maisa achila and the maisa bia, which you were not mechaving to, but the isur is rather the hana. Meaning, when it comes to machal isur, when it comes to machalos asuros, the way halacha formulates the isur is not that, right, the isur is a maisa achila of a machal isur, but the iser is rather to derive hana'a from machalos asuros through the process of achila. Or hana'as achila, from those machalos asuros. And therefore, once the gedder of the iser is the hana'a, right, not the maisa, but rather the hana'a, so therefore, you are aware of the hana'a. And therefore, if the Torah of Misasek is that you were never aware that you were performing this Maisa Isser, but the exception of Chalav Maraya Shekeinene is that once you shift the nature of the Isser from being the Maisa to the hana. So therefore, when you are deriving the hana, you are aware of your kabbalah sana. So therefore, once you say that the nature of the iser is the kabbalah sana, and because you are aware of that hana when you are receiving it, so therefore you no longer have the tzura of misasik. So in short, according to this first approach, misasik applies b'chol Torah kula when it comes to isurim which are maisa based, because you lacked kavana and you weren't aware of that you were about to perform a maisa iser, and therefore the Torah misasik applies. But when the exception of chalavim and arayos is that when it comes to these categories of isurim, here the nature of the iser is not the maisa achila or the maisa bia, but it's rather the kabbalah sana. And therefore, once the nature of the iser is the kabbalah sana, so therefore your awareness of you receiving that hana, therefore connects you to the iser. Right? The iser is the kabbalah sana, and you are aware of you receiving hana when you're receiving the hana. So therefore, they are an exception to the heter of misasik. Let's just finish up, right? And according to this understanding, right? When Rashi says, you know, chashev b'kavana, he basically, one way of understanding Rashi is that if kavana in this context means awareness, because that's the direct contrast to misasik. Misasik is lack of awareness, and here kavana is awareness. So here it's chashev b'kavana, because although in Hanami there's no kavana, there's no awareness of the maisa iser, but there is awareness of the hana itself. Therefore, once the nature of the iser is the kabbalah sana, so therefore you do have awareness for the iser itself. And again, the importance of this approach, especially moving forward, is that once you understand, according to this approach, that the factor of shekeinen is that when it comes to machalas asuros and isurei bia, but more importantly for us, machalas asuros, that the role of hana is not just a side factor, but the hana it is. The gather of the iser itself. And therefore, moving forward, if you find the discrepancy between the gather of hana, between machalas asuros and Yom Kippur, that implies that the nature of the iser of inui, of achila for Yom Kippur, is fundamentally different than the nature of shar machalas asuros. Because once a change, a shinui in the gather of hana, is not just, you know, a change in, you know, some external tanai, but is a change in the nature of the iser itself. According to this approach, that shekeinena, you know, symbolizes, signifies that the hana itself is the iser. Yes.
I would say that Yom Kippur is even more so where the iser is precisely the iser hana.
Yeah. We're going to develop that 100%.
What's Pshat Rashi? Where is this?
So according to this Pshat, when he says it's chashe b'kavana, so it's not that now lemafre as if you're mechavin for the maisa iser. It's rather now that we, you know, shifted in the focus of what the iser is, and the iser is now the hana. So now we're saying you're mechavin, i.e., you were aware of the hana.
Of the iser
and the hana. Meaning, once the iser is the kabbalah's hana, and now, right now that is now the iser, so you're aware of that. When you were receiving hana, you're now aware of that. Yeah.
So when misasik applied to Avodah Zarah, because that's something we serve as in Avodah Zarah, so it's also Bahana, right? So that's why we have something that was served as Avodah Zarah, so that was served as Avodah Zarah.
But again,
I used it for my own thing.
Yeah, but as we were discussing on Seder, this according, for sure, according to this first approach, Shekein Nana will only apply to Isurim where the Gedr of the Isser is the Hana.
Right.
When it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Gedr of the Isser is the Kabbalah Zalakus.
No. It's a chivetz that was served as Avodah
Zarah. Oh, you're saying the Isser, okay.
So you have two statues in front of you. One of them was
you're saying is Avodah Zarah. You're saying the Isser Hana from...
Someone bowed down to this statue.
Okay, that's not the Isser of Avodah, that's the Isser Takrov is Avodah Zarah.
Okay, that's also Bahana, right? This idol is... So you have two... There are two idols in front of him, and he wants to go for the mutter idol to, you know, I don't know, shake it or something for fun. But he took the one that was actually serving him at his
Yeah, so this is the, yeah.
So that, would that be a
It could be. I mean, Yisri Hana, I feel like there's a discussion about whether, I think there's a discussion, and there's a famous Ran and Chulin, about whether, and I think the Ran and Chulin extends Shekein Nana to Yisri Hana. I think. I can look that up for you. And say to remind me. Yeah, tell me.
If awareness plays a role here, why don't I have to have awareness of the Hana's Yisri? You all know they have hana. You don't know if they're doing hana's iser.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what comes out is that Yeah. So it's a great question. Basically, the Tani is asking us to spell it out. It's a very good question. It basically is asking, like, what did you just accomplish? You just shifted the Isser from a Ma'isa to Hana. But just like before, you said, if you don't have Kavana, if you don't have awareness of the Ma'isa Isser, that's a Patur. So too here. If you don't have awareness of the Hana, which is Aser, you should also...
Unless you say that the Hana, by definition, like, doesn't require any... Because it's not an action, so it doesn't require awareness at all.
Or it doesn't awareness of the Isser. Meaning, I would say that a... I would say as follows. It's a very good question. As I was saying it, I was wondering about that. That when it comes to a Maisa, right, so it could be that the only way... Yes, how are you saying it?
So, like, the way I'll explain maybe is, like, if you say, like, assume that they involve a null, like, they don't require awareness. There's, like, just like having a null, you're, like, you're...
That itself. Open. Okay, could be.
Just, like, it's hard to imagine, like, why Hashem would blame you for just having a null for something that you're not aware of it. But,
again, this is only... The Pashas is only shogeg.
What?
It's only... I mean, chayev is that you're chayev, but shogeg.
Right.
Just to bring in carbon chattas, just like if you didn't know it was
right,
Shabbos.
So then I'm going to bring carbon chattas.
Yeah.
You could be saying that...
Just to spell it out first. So what basically, what Tommy's pointing out is that different ways of saying this is that one way to say this is that once we say that the gedr of the Isser is the Hana, so then just the mitzvah of receiving the Hana itself is the Isser.
Yeah,
and therefore, you don't even need awareness of that, the fact that this is Aser, because there's no need to connect you to Kabbalah Sana. That's a Metzias. You received it. That's connected to you.
Yeah.
And therefore,
there's
no difference. It doesn't matter whether you're aware whether it's Aser or not, because at the end of the day...
But that's all what Rashi is saying.
What?
That's all what Rashi is saying.
Okay. It could be that Rashi is only gonna fit into the second approach. It could be.
Rashi saying that
you have to have awareness. So maybe Rashi is only within the second approach. I thought I saw a hand here. No? Okay. So I've got right. So far is the first approach. The Levort of Shekeinene is that the Hana itself is Mechayev, and therefore you're automatically connected to it. And again, the importance of this is that once this establishes that when it comes to Machal HaSuras, the Hana is not just, you know, an external study factor, but itself is the Isser. So again, moving forward, it can be very important if you find the contrast between Yom Kippur and Machal HaSuras in terms of what type of Hana is Mechayev, right? That it's not just an external factor, but that becomes, that's going to reflect that there's a fundamental difference in the Geder HaIsser. Fine. So now... takes us, you're right, and just, I should note, I just saw in Seder that the Asman Daraisa, or Yosef Engel, right, in Simon Chav Dalad, Dibra Maschel Umeata, supposedly says this idea, that Shekeinene, the Vort of Shekeinene, is that the Mechayev is the Hana, not the Maisa. So the second approach is to say that, really, in a Hanami, when it comes to Machal Sesuros, any Surei Bia, really the Maisa is the Getner. The Getner Isser is the Maisa Bia and the Maisa Achila. So what does Shekeinene do? So what Shekeinene does, according to the second approach, is that connects you to the Maisa. Meaning what? That generally the Ptura of Misasek is, as we explained before, that because you were not aware that you were performing the Maisa, so the lack of awareness of your performance of the Maisa basically creates a disconnect between the Maisa and you. Right, the Maisa is not Mitzuraf, is not Mesiaches to you. But when it comes to Hana, the fact that you derived Hana from the Maisa itself, so that Hana is Mitzaref you to the Maisa. So ordinarily, the bridge between you and the Maisa is your Kavana, is your awareness of your performing the Maisa. But when it comes to the realm of Machal Sesuros and Isurei Bia, there's an alternative track. Is an alternative factor which can be mitzarev, which can connect you to the Maisa. Not only awareness, but even if you lack awareness, the fact that you derived Hana from that Maisa, that connects you to the Maisa.
This is the second way of...
Yeah, exactly. This is the second way of understanding Shekeinene, that the Hana is mitzarev you to the Maisa itself. And this provides us a way of understanding Rashi. So when he says Chashev Bekavana, not that technically the Hana dictates that you were Mechavin, that you were aware of it, because technically you weren't, but rather that it works in lieu of Kavana. That has the same effect of Kavana. Right? If kavana generally is what connects you to the ma'isa, say here hana is chashav ki kavana, chashav bikavana, because it plays the same role as kavana. Generally, kavana is what connects you to the ma'isa, and here hana plays that same purpose of connecting you to the ma'isa. So that's an alternative. That's a potential read in Rashi when his chashav bikavana. Not that technically you are mechaving, but rather that halachically the hana has the same effect as the kavana, in that it connects you to the Torah. Just one more thing, and then we'll take questions. But according, now just in terms of how this plays into the larger sugya, so according to this second approach, really, the Gedera Isser, when it comes to Machal Sassurus, is really still the Maisa Achila. It becomes important, so that, according to this, the Hana is not the Geder of the Isser anymore. The Geder of the Isser is the Maisa Achila. But, it should be noted, it still doesn't mean, even according to this approach, that the Hana is completely external. Because the only time we would say that the Hana is mitzarif you to the Maisa is when the particular Hana is intrinsic to the Maisa. What do I mean by that? I'll explain that by being mocked in with a question that I was discussing with Binyamin and Yitzi. And they basically asked, according to this second approach, that the Hana connects you to the Maisa, so why is this din of Shekeinen limited to Machal Sosiros and Yisribia? You can have this by many Averas. Any Avera, you know, from which you derive Hana, theoretically you can say Shekeinena. Forgetting the best example we had was Geneva, right? When you steal something, after you steal it, you now have access to that item. So the act to the Avera of Geneva, Shekeinena. Now you're deriving Hana due to that Avera. So the answer I said was that even according to the second approach, that the Hana is functioning as a mitzarif, meaning, take a step back. Bishlam, according to the first approach, the question doesn't get off the ground. Because this approach of Shekeinen is only is limited to Machal Sosiris and Isser Yibiyah, where the nature of the Isser is the Kabbalah Hana. Right? So, according to the first approach, it's very easy to understand why it's limited to these Isserim and doesn't apply to any other Isser. But according to the second approach, that the role of Shekeinen is just that because you received Hana from the Avera, so therefore that Hana is mitzarif you to the Maisa, so theoretically, you know, that opens up the Pandora's box to say, oh, any Avera, you know, which facilitates, you know, Kabbalah's Hana, should therefore, you know, that Hana should now connect you to the Avera. But the way I answered it is that there's a very big difference between the Hana of Machal Sosiros and Isser Yibiyah and the Hana of other Averas. When it comes to the Hana of Machal Sosiros and Isser Yibiyah, there, the Hana is intrinsically linked with the Maisa itself. The Maisa of Achila and the Maisa Biyah itself is a Maisa of Hana. Masha Enkein, when it comes to a Maisa of Geneva, for instance, so there, the Maisa is an act of taking, and that then facilitates a later Hana. Right, now that it's in your property, now that you have access to that stolen item, you can now, you know, derive Hana from that item. But there, you don't have an intrinsic link between the Hana and the Maisa itself. And the only time you have an intrinsic link between the Hana and the Maisa itself is when it comes to Machal Sosiros and Isser Yibiyah, where the Maisim themselves are Maisim of Hana. And we're saying now that the only type of Hana which is able to be mitzarif, the person, the gavra, to the avira, is the hana, which is intrinsically linked to the maisa itself. And therefore, that only applies to Machal Sosiros and Isser Yibiyah. But with that background, that basically tells us that even according to the second approach, the hana is not the geder ha'isser, right? The geder ha'isser is still the maisa achila and the maisa biyah, but even according to the second approach, the hana at play is still intrinsically linked to the maisa avera. And therefore, if we even within the second approach, if we find that the geder of the maisa associated with Machal Sosiros is different than the geder of the hana associated with Yom Kippur, that still tells us something fundamentally about the you know, which type of hana is intrinsically linked with the particular maisa avera at play. So in short, and then I'll take all questions, that basically, the reason why we're bringing up this fact of Shekeinen and these two different approaches is because according to both approaches, they highlight the importance of the role of Hana when it comes to Machal Sosiros. According to the first approach, it shows that when it comes to Machal Sosiros, the Geder HaIsser itself is the Kabbalah Hana. According to the second approach, it highlights that the hana associated with machalas asuros is intrinsically linked with the maisa achila. And therefore, again, moving forward, it's going to become very important to compare and contrast the type, the gedder of the hana associated with machalas asuros with the gedder of the hana associated with Yom Kippur.
So, I think I may have let off your earlier reading too easily. So I want to try to re-motivate the view that the position that you're rejecting is might be correct.
Okay.
So, the argument is, your argument as I understand it was that it's impossible that the hana could be read back into the intention.
Technically.
Right, because the hana was attached to not like to the, and not like to like fat as such, but to, he wanted to derive pleasure hana'a from the, to whatever extent he wanted to derive hana'a, it was part of the mutter fat.
Exactly, sure.
Okay. So first of all, I'm not quite sure that the fact that the hana'a happened to be localized in the mutter fat.
In the kavana or the hana?
The hana, from the perspective of the kavana, couldn't mean that it couldn't be read retroactively back into the kavana from the perspective of the iser fat. Why? Partly because of what you said, which is that in this case the hana is attached to the object of the mitzvah, so either the bia or either the woman or the food. The reason why I have this worry that it could be read back is that even if the hana from the perspective of right, so I think that creates enough room for us to, like, read it back in principle. Now, the question is...
I don't agree, but okay. Yeah.
Okay, fine, all right. Now, the question is... So that's maybe one point of disagreement. A second point is, look, what would... And this is, I think, this may be an impossible question, a question to which there is no answer, but there's an interesting question to what...
Nice philosophical question.
What?
A nice philosophical question.
Yeah, right. Totally useless. To what extent was the hana'a attached to the object that's mutter necessary for the original kavana to perform the mitzvah? In other words, it could be that he wanted to... Actually, it's even stronger because he's not actually performing a mitzvah. He's just not being... He's not intending to perform a mitzvah. He's just not intending to be over an aveira. It might be that his calculus to eat the mutter piece of fat is just because the mutter piece of fat will provide hana. In other words, like...
But it doesn't matter.
What?
In the end of the day, your kavana in mitzvahs was for the maisa heter.
No, it was for the Maisa.
Which was your Kavana. Which was heter. To perform a Maisa heter.
Oh, the fact that it was...
To me, case closed.
Wait, but yes, maybe, except that the fact that it was a Maisa heter was necessary, but it was insufficient. And it was with lots of Maisa.
What?
For him to perform the action for him to intend the action in the first place. It's insufficient. He could have eaten many things.
But it doesn't matter. What was his kavana?
His kavana
was for a maisa heter.
Wait a minute. You're artificially limiting which part of his intention could be included in the kavana. In other words, he could have eaten many things.
I'm just counting what he had in mind.
What he had in mind
what
was...
What he had in mind was right. To eat something, which is mutter. That's what was going through his mind. If you're
the mutter,
I would like to eat... A mutter piece of fat.
Oh, a mutter piece of fat. Why a piece of fat?
That's for the phosphorus.
I don't think that's right. I don't think
that's... At the end of the day...
Again, the mutterness of that... I think you're ignoring a very important part of his intention. He doesn't just want to eat something mutter. He wants to eat this mutter piece of fat. The piece of fat, as you said, has a certain hana attached to it. He doesn't want to eat, like, a mutter piece of grass.
The act that he wanted to perform was mutter, right?
Sure, but the integral to the act is this hana, as you said.
I think we're going to... this argument will last forever, and there's no way I'm ever going to agree with you. So
why? Wait, why?
Wait a minute.
What is motivating you to...
I really want to... This is like a section here. Tomorrow I want to get into the Yom Kippur stuff.
Okay.
We'll discuss later. Okay.
Possibly wouldn't there be a way to explain it in a way that... Once there's hana, it's not possible to say that you have not realized your ma'isa yet. Meaning that na itself causes you to realize the ma'isa now that we're turned into a shogeg.
What was that?
Meaning, wouldn't the ma'isa na, couldn't that, I mean, you start off as a misase. Once ana, that ana makes it so, like, you can't say I didn't realize it anymore.
Well, that's sort of
ana,
like,
which is a very clear...
Okay, that's sort of like the first approach. I mean, if the gather of the isser is the ana, so then you're attached to that isser.
That would just be the Lundish way of explaining it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, fine. So with that...
I don't see the difference. In both approaches, you say that you're connected to the Hana, and therefore that links you to the...
No, the first approach is you don't need a link to the... to say it succinctly, is that... Sorry, the second approach is the way you formulated, is that, right, the Hana connects you to the Maisa. Really, the getter iser is the ma'isa. According to the first approach, the getter iser is the ana. So once you're connected to the ana, end of story. That's the difference.
What does this have to do with Yom Kippur?
This can have to do with Yom Kippur is because this is a hagdama to play up the importance of the next question of whether the getter of ana is me'ayim or grono. So once you take the approach that the iser being spoken about. Sorry, the hana being spoke about is part of the geder ha'isr. So once you find discrepancies between the geder ha'isr of Machalos Asuros and geder ha'isr of Yom Kippur, that's significant. If it was just like a side tanai, so then discrepancies will play less of a role and will be less reflective in terms of the geder ha'isr itself. Because the overall goal of our sugya is trying to explore this issue: what's the nature, what's the geder ha'isr of the inui v'achila. So again, we're using the hana of me'ayim versus grono as an interesting as a test case, right, to determine that.
I mean, neither of the two options are exactly critical. But we were saying or consider, is that also an option?
Spell it out again.
Okay, basically the idea that the reason, just like when I have kavana or something, the effect of what kavana is that it's I have intention to fulfill a goal, and in having that kavana, I fulfill that goal. Then I have kavana to fulfill that goal, and kavana allows me to almost to feel fulfilled, but do that goal holistically and correctly. However, by hana is unique insofar as it doesn't require sort of like a kavan of an action. You had to have wanted to do this for it to be fulfilled. Then you could just have hana happen to you, and you'd be okay with that happening. You'd be happy to have whatever. It would be good for you to have hana automatically, even without actually having that kavana. And therefore, when it says Rashi says that it's like kavana, it's an end of in of itself, a basic good.
Yeah, so I don't think that's so different than the first approach.
Right, I would just...
Yeah, I think the first approach just adds to that, the fact that the Gedra Isser is the Hana. And once you understand the Gedra Isser of Hana, then insert exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Rabbi said that this Hana is only... The Kavim Tzayef to the Maista is only applicable by Machalos Asuros and Is it doesn't apply to anywhere else, or...?
Generally not. There might be certain other cases like Yisriya Na that the Ran Chulin discusses,
right,
but in general,
Yishin says Yishlef Tavir. Even according to my Dama, it's Yishlef Tavir. When he gets Hana, he's Chayav. Is that like?
That's a slightly answer. Yeah, it's a slightly different factor, I think. It's slightly different, but generally, this idea of Shekinah being an exception to Masasik is limited to these realms. Okay. I just have to go a little further. I just want to make sure we finish this, and then I'll take questions later. Okay, fine. So with that background, right, we're just playing up the importance of, you know, determining what is the, we were just playing up what is, the important role of Hana when it comes to Mechol Zasura. So now let's just go back to, the issue of, so what is the Hana? Which Hana is Koveya when it comes to Mechol Zasura? So this brings us to the very important Machokis Amaraim in the Sugya of Chulin Kuv Gimel Amibes. So there you find two shitos about what is the Hana, which is Koveya for Mechol Zasura. So the first position there is position of Reish Lakish, who says that the Hana, which is Koveya, is Hanas Mei. Right? The Hana associated with, literally your stomach, the satiation that you derive from the food, that's the Hana, which is Koveya. And therefore, Reish Lakish, the Gemara points out that, and again, we're going to see this in contrast to Rabbi Yochanan, who's going to hold that the Hana, which is Koveya, is the Hanas Grona. So the Gemara presents two nafkamina between these two different approaches of Hanas Meayim and Hanas Grona. Anyone remember what the nafkamina are?
Throwing it up.
Exactly. One of them is Achol Chatzi Zayas V'Hikiyo. The Chazar V'Achol Chatzi Zayas Acher. Basically, you ate a half a gazayas, right? So if a half a gazayas, pass through your garon, then you threw it up and you ate it again. So again, you have a second half gazayas being, going through your garon. But from the perspective of your me'ayim, bottom line, your me'ayim is only satiated from a half a gazayas of food. So the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, who thinks that hanas me'ayim is required, so therefore he's going to say that there's no chiyuv in such a case. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that, hanas grono is mechayiv, therefore you're going to be chayiv in that case. What's the other nafkamina? Not really. Bein chanichayim? My bein chanichayim, when the food literally is stuck in your palate. Basically stuck somewhere in your mouth. And basically the point is, it's a clear nafkamina, right? You have, in that case, you have hanas grono, but you lack hanas meayim, because it never basically traveled down to your stomach. So that's again the shita of Reish Lakish, the hanas meayim is koveya, and therefore in both those cases of chazar v'ikiyo and the case of bein hachanichayim, in both those cases you lack hanas meayim, and therefore there's no, you will not have violated the meichel iser at play. But it's important to note that within the shita of Reish Lakish of hanas meayim, there's a machlokis achronim in terms of what exactly is the shita of Reish Lakish, and the two options are as follows. First option is that when Reish Lakish says Hanas Me'ayim, he means Hanas Me'ayim and only Hanas Me'ayim. So I would say the pashpshat in the sugya would seem to be that Reish Lakish holds that all you need is Hanas Me'ayim, but you don't need Hanas Grono as well. So basically the shittos of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are completely mutually exclusive, right? Rav Yochanan holds Hanas Grono, and Reish Lakish says, no, it's only Hanas Me'ayim. So the one Achron that I found who seems to take this pashpshat approach is the Mishnah Lamelech. If you recall, the Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Perek Yudalid, Halach Yudbeis. So there, the Mishnah Lamelech is discussing the case of Siv, Binyamin just referenced before. So the case of Bala B'Siv is where you wrap the food in some type of encasing, all right? Some type of encasement?
Encasing,
okay. Right?
Just casing.
What?
Casing.
Or casing.
Or just case.
Thank you. And so you swallow it in a sieve, right? And when you swallow it in a sieve, right, that's a case, mentioned the Gemara and Pesachim, which we'll get back to. So that's, again, a case which is the opposite of the two nafkamina mentioned by the Gemara in Chulin. The two cases in Gemara and Chulin are cases where there's Hanaz Grono, but you do not have Hanaz Me'ayim. So the case of sieve is the opposite, right? There's no Hanaz Grono, but there is Hanaz Me'ayim, because it's in a case, right? Because it's in a sieve, right? The Garon, right, receives no hana from it. The only hana is received in the me'ayim. Right, so the Mishnah Melech is discussing that case, and basically in his long discussion of that case says that when you, right, because the Gemara only discusses siv in the context of mitzvos, it doesn't discuss siv in the context of machalos asuros. So the Mishnah Melech in his very last line says it would seem that the question of whether you're over when you eat a Michael Isser B'Siv, it seems to be told on the two deos, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, in Chulin. So according to the Mishnah Melech, what comes out is that he seems to be understanding that Reish Lakish is Mechayet, only requires Hanas Me'ayim. because he implies that Reish Lakish would be mechayev the case of Michael Isser Inesiv, and therefore the Mishnah Lamelach seems to be understanding Reish Lakish Kepashtus, that Reish Lakish only requires Hanas Me'ayim, and therefore you're going to be chayev in a case of Siv. So again, the first take on Reish Lakish is that all he requires is Hanas Me'ayim, and therefore you'd be chayev in the case of Siv, and the Mishnah Lamelach is the one Achron who seems to take that approach.
How do we see that he's chayev for eating different
Siv? No, so Mishnah Lamelach, the Mishnah Lamelach assumes that. He says, oh, this nafkamina of Siv should be the nafkamina between Rechon and Reish Lakish. So it emerges from the Mishnah Lamelech's understanding of Reish Lakish that he thinks that Reish Lakish only requires Hanas Me'ayim, and therefore you be chayev in the case of Siv. The second approach to Reish Lakish, which is accepted by a number of Achronim, right, the second approach is that Reish Lakish, the Machlokas, transpires as follows. Rav Yochanan says all you need is Hanaz Grono. Comes along, that's Rav Yochanan, comes along Reish Lakish to say that no, Hanaz Grono doesn't suffice. You also need Hanaz Me'ayim. But according to this second approach, Reish Lakish requires both Hanaz Grono and Hanaz Me'ayim. And therefore, the Nafgamina of Siv, because there wouldn't be a Nafgamina of Siv, right? Because since Siv lacks Hanaz Grono, according to the second approach, Reish Lakish would agree that you do not have, there will not be a chiv in this case, even according to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish requires both Hanaz Grono and Hanaz Me'ayim. So it's important, let's just go through the three Achronim who learn this way in Reish Lakish, and it's fascinating to look at their rayos, because they each bring different rayos, and each of those rayos, most of the rayos are very fruitful for analysis. So the first Achron who basically says this Pshat and Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish requires both Hanaz Me'ayim and Hanaz Grono. And again, just background, it's very important to pin down these shitos because it'd be then important to figure out what all of these shitos think about Yom Kippur. And in order to compare and contrast, right, you have to understand what the Din and B'chol Torah Kula is. So Minchas Chinuch is the first Achron who takes this approach. There's a Minchas Chinuch mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel Os Beis Zero Maschel Oud. So there, in passing, right, he's discussing Yom Kippur, but in passing he mentions the Reish Lakish requires both Hanaz Grono and Hanaz Me'ayim. And he says, what's the Minchas Chinuch's Raya? Anyone remember what Raya he brings? It's a little more in passing, a little smaller. Minchas Chinuch says, why? Because I want... Exactly. Because the Minchas Chinuch thinks that the Gemara in Psachim, which says that if you're Balea Matzah Besiv, that you're not Yotze, he says, that seems to be the Kuli Alma. Right? And therefore, if we're trying to say that Balea Matzah Besiv is not Yotze, the Kuli Alma, even according to Reish Lakish, that requires you to say that everyone requires Hanaz Grono. Right? Because the only thing that's lacking in the case of Siv is Hanaz Grono. And therefore, if you think that everyone agrees that you're not Yotze in the case of Siv, it must be that not only does Rav Yochanan require Hanaz Grono, that's all he requires, but even Reish Lakish, who requires Hanaz Me'ayim, also requires Hanaz Grono. So that's a simple raya of the Minchas Chinuch, that the Reish Lakish also requires Hanaz Grono. This takes us to the second Achron who accepts this approach. This is the Eglei Tal, right? The Eglei Tal also says the Reish Lakish requires both Hanaz Me'ayim and Hanaz Grono, but the Eglei Tal is a fascinating raya. What's the Eglei Tal's raya?
In the fact you're able to eat very close to Yom Kippur, there's no Isser feeling full. I'm Yom Kippur.
Exactly. It's a wacky raya. Right? He says that, because if Reish Lakish thought that Hanaz Me'ayim alone was the Koveya, so then, he says, it would be a problem. If you eat right before Yom Kippur, and you still feel Hanaz Me'ayim, you still feel satiated, come Yom Kippur. So if Reish Lakish thought that Hanaz Me'ayim was the lone Koveya, so then that would be a problem, according to Reish Lakish, because you're feeling Hanaz Me'ayim on Yom Kippur.
You have to start the fast like 5 hours earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so let's just analyze that raya. There are two questionable assumptions of the Eglei Tal here. The first questionable assumption, which just gets to our larger point, is that he assumes an equation between Yom Kippur and Kol Torah Kula. Right? He's discussing the Shita of Reish Lakish in the Sugya of Chulin, which is dealing with Machalas Asuros in general, and he's bringing a Raya from Yom Kippur to Machalas Asuros. So questionable assumption number one is that there's an equation between Yom Kippur and Shar Machalas Asuros when it comes to this question of which type of Hana is Koveya. Number one. Questionable assumption number one. Questionable assumption number two, which I think is even more questionable, is that if you were to hold that Hanas Me'ayim was the only Koveya, the Egletal assumes that you would be over for Hanas Me'ayim even without a Maisa. Right? Because what's the case at hand? The case at hand is where you didn't perform any Maisa on Yom Kippur. Right? This is all about what you ate on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Egletal says that if the perspective was that the Hanas Me'ayim alone was the Koveya, he would, says the Egletal, then you would be Chayev based on your holdover Hanas Me'ayim on Yom Kippur, based on that which you ate on Erev Yom Kippur. So the assumption of the Egletal is that if the Hanas Me'ayim was the lone Koveya, you would be Chayev for Hanas Me'ayim, even based on, basically, even for passive, right? Passive Hanas Me'ayim, which is disconnected from any Maisa.
Don't we see something similar like Shehiya on Erev Shabbos? They could still be Chayev on.
Okay.
So the same, it should be the same over here.
Okay.
I don't say it's that they're Abanan, but I'm saying like.
Okay, there is a notion, you don't need a Shehiya. I mean, there is a notion of certain Averos, which are B'Shei Vataisa. But the Chiddush would be that, that there's a version of Achila, which is B'Shei Vataisa. Okay? We'll explain it in just a moment. I mean, just to play up, I think that this assumption, you know, I think highlights a very important contrast between Hanaz Grono and Hanaz Me'ayim. And that is, Hanaz Grono is much more connected to the act, to the Maisa Achila, than Hanaz Me'ayim. Meaning, Hanaz Grono in two senses. Hanaz Grono, number one, takes place immediately following the act of putting food in your mouth. So just from like a timing perspective, it's much, right? From a timing perspective, it's much more closely related to the act, to the kumba asay of placing food in your mouth. And number two, when it comes to Hanaz Grono, because the Hana is much more is instantaneous, doesn't linger on. So therefore the focus on Hanaz Grono seems to be focused much more on the Maisa. Again, one more time. Hanaz Grono, because it takes place immediately after the Maisa of putting the food in your mouth, and in conjunction with the fact that there is no really lingering effect of Hanaz Grono, it's more of an instantaneous taste. So therefore, Hanaz Grono seems to be much more focused on the Maisa, on the act of putting it in your mouth, and that's what Hanaz Grono seems to be focused on. In stark contrast to Hanaz Grono, which seems to be very much focused, connected to the Maisa of putting the food in your mouth, Hanaz Me'ayim seems to be the opposite. Right? And this seems to be where the Egletal is coming from. Right? Hanaz Me'ayim, on the one hand, from the timing perspective, it's very much disconnected from the act of eating. Right? You can eat and it can only be hours later or minutes later that you feel satiation from that eating. So from a timing perspective, there seems to be a significant break between, you know, the act of eating and the Hanaz Me'ayim. And furthermore, Hanaz Me'ayim, again, not only is it disconnected from the Maisa, Hanaz Me'ayim itself, by its very nature, seems to be focused on Totsah, right? Because Hanaz Me'ayim is all about a lingering satiation, so Hanaz Me'ayim itself is much more of a Totsah-oriented, you know, Hana, than the Maisa-oriented Hana of Hanaz Grono. So in short, what this Egletal is highlighting is that you have a stark contrast between the nature of Hanaz Grono and Hanaz Me'ayim. Hanaz Grono is much more Maisa-oriented. Again, it's takes place right immediately after the Maisa, and there's no Totsah, there's no lingering effect to speak of. Right? This is in contrast with Hanaz Me'ayim, which again is disconnected from the Maisa of eating. Again, there's a delay between the act of eating and the Hanaz Me'ayim. And itself, Hanaz Me'ayim is very much Totsah-oriented in the fact that it's all based on that lingering satiation. So in short, the Egletal seems to have this similar analysis, that Hanaz Me'ayim is all Totsah-oriented, And Hana's grono is that which is Maisa oriented. And therefore, the Eglay Tal takes this analysis seemingly to, you know, its ultimate conclusion to say, and therefore, if Hana's Me'ayim was the lone Koveya, so therefore you can be over completely passively. Because it says, since the nature of Hana's Me'ayim is all Totsoa oriented, so therefore you can violate the Isser of Hana's Me'ayim completely passively. And therefore, even if you didn't do any Maisa on Yom Kippur itself, you would be Chayiv. If Hana's Me'ayim was alone, Koveya. So therefore, says the Eglay Tal, must be the Reish Lakish thinks that, you know, not only is Hana's Me'ayim the Koveya, but it's also Hana's Grona. So again, fine. So again, now the, what?
Rav Cohen's grandkid is about to drive that van.
Awesome. I think his parents there. Okay. The third Achron who accepts his.
How do you explain Hana's Grona? It's like a real another. Like
Hana's
Me'ayim.
I think like taste.
He's getting like the nutrition. Yeah. Hana's Grona, it's not one he's chewing.
It's food. Like the taste. I think it's the taste that you receive from the food.
So like when you taste, like let's say, like you taste the food and you spit, you're not doing any Issa, right? That like one of the we saw inside.
Oh, that yeah, but that's one of the Achronim use it as a raya. The Eglay Tal says, yeah, that's the raya. That Hana's Me'ayim is the kopeya.
Right, but saying like Hana's Grona, I don't see what's. I see like part of the action of eating, but I don't see it as like a separate hana. Because like the point is the tasting, because the tasting itself.
But it's not so clear. Te'ima is a whole sugya about whether you're overeating or for te'ima. And that might relate to this.
Anas grono means like the meaning.
I think so. That's my understanding of it. That's what I'm saying. It's an instantaneous. As I was saying before, it's like an instantaneous hana. It's not lingering, right? And therefore, I think that's why hana's grono is much more of like a maisa oriented. You know, is much more mice oriented in contrast to Hana's Me'ayim, which is much more, you know, Totso oriented.
Yeah. It's like, it's hard to say this Hana's Me'ayim by itself works because, like, it's detached from the mice.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what the.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you agree with that, Gleitel? We're going to see Rav Yochanan. Oh, we'll get to it. Rav Yochanan is going to say Hana's. No, forget that. So the third Achron who says this pshat in Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish is not just Hana's Me'ayim alone, it's also Hana's Grono, is the Achiezer. Rav Chaim Ozer, in, you know, this Tshuvas Achiezer, Chela Gimel, Simen Samach Aleph, and Dira Maschel Ube'emes. So there the Achiezer also develops the idea that Reish Lakish requires both Hana's Me'ayim and Hana's Grono. And what's his Raya? He brings in another interesting Raya. And remember the Raya that the Achiezer brings, that there must be, that everyone agrees to Hana's Grono?
Have you eaten a vela?
You
eat a vela on Yom Kippur.
Shalom. Exactly. Shalom Kedera Chachila. Right? He basically points out, there's a suit, which we'll get to, is also one of our, you know, big issues. It's a big machlokes about whether the Ptur of Shalom Kedera Chachila applies to Yom Kippur. As you can imagine, that's a very important test case for whether Yom Kippur requires Ma'as Achila. But that being said, there's a Gemara in Pesachim Chavdal and Beis, which basically cites the Ptur of Shaloka Derech Achila when it comes to Machol Sosruos, right? And basically this idea that if you eat a particular Michael Isser in an abnormal way, one example, right, is let's say if you liquefy a food and then you eat it, that's an abnormal way of, you know, consuming, you know, a food, so therefore that's a Ptur when it comes to Machol Sosruos.
Wait, like even in the age of smoothies?
Even in the age of smoothies?
We live in the age of smoothies.
I sense that was an assumption of your statement.
Right.
But let's say if you liquefy bread.
That's disgusting. But I meant like.
Exactly. That's the point. So just.
But you're still potter?
If it's shloka derech. Yeah.
So I can like liquefy bacon.
If it's a question, it's potter or midaraisa. According to the Rav Yah, it's mutter. According to Mos, it's still asim midrabah.
What was that?
We'll get to that. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Pata of al Asr is an example of that.
Okay, so it could be Asr of al Pata.
Asr of al Pata.
No.
It could be.
I'm not sure exactly what you said.
Midrash
Rabbanon, it's Asr. Midrash Rabbanon, it's Asr.
Right, Midrash Rabbanon, it's Asr, but you're Pata from Korban.
Yeah.
Asr of al Pata.
Yeah. Okay, so we call it Pata of al Asr. Whatever. It's the same
as opposed to Asr of al Pata.
It's the same idea.
Potato.
The same thing. In short, so the Achiezer cites that halacha of the Pturish Shloka Derech Achila, So the fascinating, that is the same, we'll get to it, but that is the same answer for Yochanan. So you, but the Achiezer assumes, since Reish Lakish doesn't disagree there, so everyone agrees, even Reish Lakish is going to agree to the Petura of Shlok Derech Achila. So says the Achiezer, reasons the Achiezer, that factor of Shlok Derech Achila, which Hana does that impact? Hana's Grono or Hana's Meayim? You said it's disgusting. Disgusting in terms of the taste. Right? It doesn't have any impact on the nutritional value of that which you're eating. Right? So therefore the Achiezer says, the fact that everybody agrees that there's a Ptura of Shlok Derech Achila, even though the fact of Shlok Derech Achila only impacts the Hana's Grono, that proves that it must be that even Reish Lakish requires Hana's Grono. Because if Reish Lakish thought that the lone Koveya was Hana's Me'ayim, so then he shouldn't care about the Ptura of Shlok Derech Achila, because who cares? If the lone Koveya was Hana's Me'ayim, nutritional value that you receive from the food, so who cares how you consume it, whether you liquefy the bread? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you're receiving the same Hana's Me'ayim. So says the Achiezer, that proves that even Reish Lakish agrees that beyond Hana's Me'ayim, you require Hana's Grono. So moving on now. So Ad Kan was the discussion of Shitas Reish Lakish. Again, Shitas Reish Lakish in the Gemara is Hanas Me'ayim. We just had two different approaches within Reish Lakish, whether it's only Hanas Me'ayim, or he means also Hanas Me'ayim in addition to Hanas Grono. So now transitioning to the normative psak of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan in the Sugya there in Chulin says, and this is clear, that the only Hana which is required to be over Isurim is the Hana of Hana's Grono. And therefore, Rav Yochanan says, in those two Nafkamina, those two test cases in the Gemara, either when you throw it up, or the case where it stays in your mouth, that even though those cases only have Hana's Grono, and you lack Hana's Me'ayim, Rav Yochanan says you're Chayiv in both those cases, because it's clear, according to Rav Yochanan, the lone Koveya is Hana's Grono. And this is the way we paskin, the Rambam paskins like this, is the way we paskin L'maisa, in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Perek Yudalid Halacha Gimel. Right, the Rambam clearly formulates that the Koveya for Machal Sasuros is Hana's Grono, and he mentions these two Nafka Mina mentioned in the Gemara of, you know, the case where you throw it up, you know, eat a half a gazayas to throw it up, eat it again, and the case of where it remains in your mouth. And again, he repeatedly says, Shahare Nenna Grono Mikazayas, right, Al Hana's Grono, Al Hana's Agaron, again, repeatedly saying that the focus is Hana's Grono. And again, this has become very important because once we know that bottom line, the psat, when it comes to Machalos Asuros, is that the Koveya is Hana's Grono, we're going to see that when we find that many Mefarshim think that the Koveya by Yom Kippur is not Hana's Grono, or at least not only Hana's Grono, that's going to become very important. That's going to show us that there is a contrast between the Geder of Shar Machalos Asuros and the Geder of Yom Kippur itself, again, which is going to play a role in terms of whether Yom Kippur is not just a Maisa Achila, but perhaps more, something more. Again, just in short, because once we define that Hana's Grono as the lone Koveya, that dictates when it comes to Shar Machol Sasuros, that either in two different ways, either the, you know, the Geder HaIsser is the Hana's Grono, that's approach number one in Shekeinena, or approach number two in Shekeinena would say that the Geder HaIsser, sorry, let's say that the Geder of a Maisa Achila is Hana's Grono. So again, once you see by Yom Kippur that, you know, people are saying that it's not just Hana's Grono, that you're taking into account Hana's Me'ayim based on the fact of Yisuvei Daite, so that's going to be very indicative of the nature of Inui Shel Achila. Before we do that, one last thing I'd like to do in the last couple minutes we have. So far we just, right, in our, you know, survey of, you know, Hana's Grono, Hana's, you know, Hana's Me'ayim, the whole Torah Kula, so far we've been discussing the realm of Isurim. Now I'd like to quickly discuss the realm of Mitzvos. So the one Gemara which discusses this issue in the realm of Mitzvos is the Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis. And this is the Gemara of Siv, right, where the Gemara there in Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis says that if you're Boleya Matzah B'Siv, right, if you swallow, you know, Matzah within a certain type of casing, such that, right, it doesn't touch your Garon at all, so the Gemara is a Stam Gemara which says you're not Yotze. Right, so again, this Gemara seems to be highlighting, as we pointed out before, that even when it comes to mitzvos, the psak of Hana's Grono seems to apply. Right, that not only is Hana's Grono, right, the psak when it comes to machalos asuros, it's also the psak when it comes to mitzvos. And therefore, if you eat, if you eat a mitzvah, or if you perform a mitzvah of achila without hanaz gruno, you're not going to be yotzei. Fine. This should be noted in light of the minchas chinuch.
Does it mean only hanaz gruno, or you also need hanaz gruno?
Oh, so exactly. So this is the two ways to learn this gemara. So either you're going to say this gemara is clearly, or is according to Rav Yochanan, or all you need is hanaz gruno, or exactly as Biyamin pointing out, this gemara, as the minchas chinuch, exactly proves from this gemara could also be going according to Reish Lakish. If Reish Lakish, you take the second approach we said earlier, the Reish Lakish requires both hanaz me'ayim and hanaz gruno. Right, because then Reish Lakish could say same thing by mitzvah. So you need both me'ayim and grono, and therefore, if you belay a besiv, you're lacking one of the two components, two requirements. Therefore, you're not yotzei. So very good. That's point number one. And point number two is just to just in light of our the two approaches of shekei nena, there are two ways to formulate the need for hanaz grono when it comes to mitzvahs, right? Parallel to the two ways we were saying it before when it comes to Yisurim. So just like before, the first approach by Yisurim is that the Gedr Ha'isr is the Hana. So you can say the same type of idea when it comes to mitzvahs. Is that the Gedr HaMitzvah, when it comes to a mitzvah of Achila, so the Gedr HaMitzvah is to derive Hana from the matzah, for instance. Because so one way to formulate the mitzvah of Achila is to say that the Gedr HaMitzvah is to receive Hana from the matzah. The second version, parallel to the second version earlier, where the Geder Ha'iser is the Maisa Achila, and the Hana just plays a role of a Tziruf. So to hear that approach would say that the Geder of a Maisa Achila is the Geder of the Mitzvah of Achila is a Mais, is the Geder of the Mitzvah is to perform a Maisa Achila, whereby the factor of Hanaz Grono seems to be Magdir. Right, the gather of what constitutes a Maisa Achila. And the Mishnah Lamelech, again, of these two options, the Mishnah Lamelech seems to formulate the second side, right, where the Mishnah Lamelech, we quoted before in Machalos Asuros, I think this was Yodal Yud Beis, where when he's discussing this issue, he basically equates, the realm of Yisurim with the realm of Mitzvos to say that you require, that just like Hanaz Grono is magdir, the geder is koveya, the geder of a maisa achila in the realm of Isurim, it's hanaz grono is similarly magdir, right, the geder of a maisa achila when it comes to mitzvos. Again, he's taking the second approach that that really the koveya both for Isurim, both for machalos asuros and for mitzvos which relate to achila, the geder for both of them is focused on a maisa achila, whereby the factor of hanaz grono is the koveya what constitutes a Maisa Achila. So we'll stop here and I'll take any questions. Any questions? Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like I'm right.
You always do.
Yeah. Can you please explain?